Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
The parable that was read in your hearing, found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 14, is perhaps the most beautiful parable and the most beautiful story that's ever been told by the lips of men. Jesus used this beautiful story to show that men had no right to look down on others, nor did they have the right to distinguish between those who some referred to as sinners and publicans and those who were no account, and they themselves. And how that God viewed the sinner, how that God viewed those people to whom Jesus went with the saving message of the gospel. The beautiful story is sometimes called the prodigal son. The word prodigal has an interesting meaning. It means to be characterized by wasteful or greedy or lavish living. The prodigal son is a person who is characterized by that kind of living. But I think another title could be put on it. I prefer to entitle the lesson, The Waiting Father, or The Loving Father, and the purpose for the parable, The Way Home. Because it pictures a young man, as you recall, who went away from his father, went into a far land of God forgetfulness, and there wasted his living upon wasted his goods upon riotous living. Finally, waking up to find himself next to the pig pen, longingly observing the swine as they ate the husks or the slop which they were fed. The Bible says, then he came to himself, and he made his way home, and the father accepted him. What a wonderful story it is. And I want to talk with you just in the few moments that we have together this morning about the way home. First of all, let us notice the departure of this young man. He left the comfort and the love and the peace and the joy and the fellowship of a loving home and a loving father to go into a land of God forgetfulness. He departed his home and went out to a far land, away from God, as we picture the Father here as God. Away from God, away from the fellowship and the care and the concern of a loving Father. It was not that he willfully intended, I believe, to go away and wreck his life. I don't believe that we can find that. It seems to me that this young man simply did not intend to wind up in a pig pen. He did not intend to find himself debased and to lose everything. It was not his intention to do that, but it happened. Because of sin, he had lost all that he had. He had gone away from everything that was worthwhile to him. I don't believe that when he left that he intended to hurt his father particularly. There seemed to be no implication that the young man intended to grieve his father as he did, or to hurt other people. But nevertheless, his self-will brought that grief and heartache about, didn't it? The father was grieving, longingly looking for his return, for the return of this young man when he finally came back. But he didn't intend to do that. You know, I think generally speaking that today, people who go away and sin and go out and leave the family and go away from God do not intend to grieve others. They do not intend to hurt their mother and father and their brothers and sisters. They do not intend to hurt the church particularly. They do not intend initially to end up like this young man ended up. But nevertheless, sin results in the same kind of situation that this young man found himself in. Why did he leave? Well, he didn't leave particularly, you know, to hurt his father. He didn't intend to end up in the way he ended up. But I think he left primarily because of self-will. Generally speaking, sin is a result of self-will. It's a result of my will. I want to do my thing. This young man could say, and probably did say within himself, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do my thing. I want to experience life. You know, we only go around once, let's live it, and all this kind of business, as is a modern day philosophy by day. This young man ended up, because of his self-will, lost, separated from the Father, having lost everything that was worthwhile to him, ended up in the pig pen. This self-will is pictured in Adam and Eve at the very beginning of sin. A determination to do what she wanted to do and do what he wanted to do. And all through the Bible, sin is pictured as a process of self-will. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, under the conditions in which I want to do it. Irregardless of what it might cost me, they never see that far ahead, or what it might do to others. You know, sin never promises what it gives, and always promises, always gives what it never promises. That's what happened in this case. Here's this young man. He left home, away from everyone. He didn't intend to hurt his father, but he did. He didn't intend to hurt others, but he did. He didn't intend to wind up in the pig pen, but he did. It was self-will. Now notice secondly, that he wound up in a far country. What does sin cost us? What does pleasing self do? Well, it cost this young man really everything. Let's notice what it cost him. First of all, it cost him fellowship of his father. He no longer had a relationship of the joys and the benefits of home. When he woke up to himself, when he came to himself there in that by that pig pen, I think he could say that, be it ever so humble, there's just no place like home. And he longed to be there. He lost fellowship. Sin always separates us from God. That's what Jesus is trying to say here in this parable. That these people who were sinners and publicans were away from God. They were separated from His fellowship. They had removed themselves from the relationship that they had formerly had with God. And now they were separated. The great prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says, "Our sins and iniquities have separated you between you and your God," to the Israelite people. And likewise, sin and iniquity separates us from fellowship with God as well. Sin separates. In James 4 and verse 4, James says, "Ye adulteresses and friends of the world, know ye not that those who have a friendship of the world are at enmity with God?" They separate themselves from God. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "If any man says he walks in darkness and in fellowship with God, he lies." He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. When we go away from the Father, we separate ourselves from Him. And being separated, we do not have the benefits and the blessings and the joys of that relationship which we once enjoyed. Secondly, he lost his good name. You know, the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 22 and verse 16 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But this young man had lost his inheritance. He had lost his relationship with the Father. Now he was a nobody who was sent to feed the pigs in a far country. No longer did he have any influence. His influence was only for bad, not for good. Also, he lost his friends. Perhaps they were fair-weather friends, but they were all the friends that he had. He could find no one to help him when he got destitute. They left with his money. He spent his money, and perhaps if he had friends in that far country, which evidently he did, because they helped him spend his money, now they were gone. Fair-weather friends, to say the least, but he lost them. They're gone. He didn't have the friends that he once had at home, where he should have been. Now those fair-weather friends were gone. He lost his friends. He lost his freedom. Here was a man who had once been free, yet in seeking freedom, he was enslaved. He was sent to feed the pigs. No longer did he have freedom. He was bound by his own needs to a man who cared nothing for him, and sent him in a degrading situation for a Jewish young man to have to go and to feed unclean animals. Animals which were unworthy of his time or effort. He lost his freedom. Sin enslaves us. It always does. It always does. He also lost his self-respect. He looked within himself and said, "Here I am, away from God, away from the Father, away from home. enslaved to another man because of my needs. I find myself looking longingly at the slop. I cannot bring myself to even put myself on the level that I once was. Now I want to go back and just be a servant. Just let me be a servant. If I can just go back and be a slave in my father's house. Lost his self-respect. Sin will do that to you. Sin will cost us fellowship with God. It will cost us the loss of a good name. It will cost us our friends. It will cost us peace of mind. It will cost us freedom. It will cost us self-respect. Sin always is costly. It never is cheap. This young man found out the hard way. I hope and pray that many of our young men, whether they be young in age, young in maturity in the church, whatever their situation may be, will not have to find out the hard way. Sin costs. It's very serious in its consequence. It cost everything that he had. This young man thought, I'm going to go and have a good time. I'm going to go and have pleasure. He was unlike Moses who did not want to have the pleasures of sin for a season, but rather to chose to suffer with the people of God. This young man wanted the pleasures, but he thought they were endearing. And like Robert Burns said in Tam O'Shanter in the poem that he wrote, pleasures are like poppies spread, you seize the flower, the bloom is shed. Or like the snow falls in the river, a moment white, and then melts forever. Pleasures are fleeting. They're not permanent. But this young man could only see the pleasures that he thought he saw in sin. He could not see any further than the pleasure involved. He lost his money. He lost his clothing. He lost his shoes. He lost his food. He had done more than spend his money. He had spent his resources. He had spent his spiritual resources. Now he was hungry of body and of soul. He was unknown, unheeded, unwanted in a far country. That's the condition that Jesus says a sinner's in. There was good in this, though. Sometimes man's extremity is God's opportunity. For the first time, he really learned what it was like to rely on himself and how much he really needed God. How much he really needed his Father. You know, that's what it takes for all of us. We must sometime come to the point when we recognize that our own self-will, our own self-reliance is not sufficient. There comes a time when we must turn to God. Now let's notice the way home. How did he return? What caused it? How was he received? First of all, the Bible says that he came to himself. He wasn't really himself. When we're away in sin, we're not as God would have us to be. We're not reaching our full potential. We're not reaching as God would have us to reach up and better things and greater things and serving. But rather, when we're away in sin, when we're away from God, we are truly not ourselves. The Bible says that he came to himself. What it amounts to is he woke up. He looked around and realized just exactly what had happened to him. He found himself in a pig pen. Sin had deceived him. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13 says that we ought to exhort one another today, as long as it is called today, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It always, always promises something that it will not give us. And it always gives us something that it never promises. And this young man finally woke up. He said, what am I doing here? He'd given in to greed. He'd given in to lust. And now he woke up. Found himself away from God. My friends, every Christless life is a pig pen. Every life away from God is a pig pen. I've seen pig pens with plush carpet that thick on the den, with wonderful fireplaces and a big color television and all the conveniences and the blessings of a beautiful home. But that life was a pig pen. Why? because they're away from God and sin. This young man woke up. And every one of us who are away from God, who may be separated because of sin today, are in a pig pen. Now, we may not recognize it. We may not be awake to it. We may not have come to ourselves yet. But every Christless life, every life away from God is a pig pen. And we need to wake up to it. This young man woke up. To thine own self be true. He looked within himself. He looked at the mirror of what he ought to be, and he measured himself and he said, "What in the world am I doing here? I don't need to be here. I need to be whole." And the Bible says then that he made resolution. He made a decision. He says, "I will go home. And I will say to my father, 'Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a hired servant in your house. Just let me come home and serve you.' And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to confess to my father and I'm going to let him know that I'm sorry and I'm going to ask him to take me back even into his house, even as a servant, because I'm not worthy to be a son. I will arise and I will go." Every one of us who's in sin, every one of us who's gone away must have some time or other resolved to come home. He didn't hesitate between the decision and the doing. The implication is that he got up right then. He didn't look one more time at the slop. He didn't even go back and talk to them. He left right then. He went home. He came home to God. He came home to the Father. He came to himself. He made a resolution. He decided to come home. And then the Bible says he carried it out. He came home. I wish that there was some way that the Lord had spent a little bit more detail of telling us how he got there. We know he didn't have any shoes. It must have been a hard trip. He didn't have a robe on his back. It must have been a cold trip. He'd hopped his ring. He didn't have anything to call his own. Hungry. So hungry that he was looking longingly at the husk that the pigs were eating. Now he has to come home a long way off in a far country. How he made it, I don't know. But I know one thing. He was determined. He was determined to do whatever it was that he needed to do to come home. And my friends, if you're away in sin, you need to do whatever you need to do to come home. If you've been separated from God because of sin, you need to wake up and you need to make a decision and you need to come home, whatever it takes, whatever your position or condition might be, and whatever it takes for you to come home, you need to come home. This young man carried it out. And when we see the Father, the scene changes. Here's the young man coming. And when he was afar off, the Father saw him. He evidently was looking for him because he wouldn't have seen him afar off if he hadn't have been looking. He was looking for him, perhaps longingly waiting for him to come home. And there on the horizon of that farm or whatever, wherever this father lived, there came this young man walking, stumbling, trying to come home. What was the attitude of the father? Was he filled with contempt? Did he shut the door on the young man's face? Did he put him on probation? No. God does not treat sinners that way. The picture that Jesus wants us to see here is, how does God view the sinner? God views the sinner as worthy of acceptance back. The young man is on his way home. He's coming home. He's crying. He's doing his part. Will God run to meet him? Will God go out and accept him? Will the Father go out and accept this young man? Yes, He will. And the Bible says he ran to meet the young man as he came home. He threw his arms around him. The young man took a hold of his shoulders, pushed him back and said, "Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a servant." And about that time, a servant ran up. And he says, "Put a robe on the boy's back. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes back on his feet. Kill the fatted calf and let's eat and let's be merry, because my son who was lost is found. My son who was dead is now alive. Let us rejoice that he's come home." Can't you see that Jesus here is saying to the sinner and saying to those of us who may have removed our sin, and as we view God's relationship to that sinner, that God loves the person who goes astray, even though he may have gone astray, even though he may have grieved the Father, even though he may have hurt other people, even though he may have resulted in a terrible influence on others, he may have caused others to speak against his family, yet God loves that person. My friends, he loves you too. And he wants you to come home. Why don't you decide to come home? Wake up. See your life as it is. If you're away from God, you're just like that prodigal son sitting down there in the pig pen. Oh, you say, well, I don't feel that bad. I don't feel that dirty. But my friends, if sin is there, and if you've been living in sin, if you've gone away from God, you're separated from Him. You're away from Him. You're in sin. You're dirty. In sin, you need to be cleaned up. You need to have the cleansing blood of Christ applied to your soul that you may be purified by that blood. You know, there are two different kinds of sinners. There are those who have never accepted and trusted in Jesus Christ as the Son of God for salvation. Having been obedient to that faith in Him by repentance, confession, and baptism. And there are those who have done that but have gone back again into their former ways. Who've left the fellowship of the Father, left the joys that they have in Christ Jesus, left the peace that they had in Christ Jesus, left the fellowship of the family, left the relationship as a child of God, left the relationship as a brother and sister in Christ, separated themselves from the family of God and from the Father, and have now found themselves and are, in fact, away from God in sin. Don't deceive yourself. You're just as far away from God as you were initially. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that you're worse off. Having once known the knowledge of the truth and then gone away from it. I plead with you today that you wake up, that you resolve today to come home. Come home. The Bible says and promises that if we will confess our sins, God is just and faithful to forgive us our sins.